Good morning. So kind of at the end of the year, one of the things I love to do, was able to do this last year, is kind of do a prophetic review and look back and see, you know, what God had said to us and what God had, was speaking to us, and then take it from there as we look to the future. You know, every one of us, every year is different. There are different seasons in every one of our lives. Some of you might say that this was the best year of your life, and some of you might say something different, okay? And that you've been through some real challenges. And I know just recently, a couple weeks ago, I had to do a message at the United Hospital there in Bridgeport, and there was two television stations there and a whole bunch of bigwig people, and I can't even explain it, because I don't usually feel intimidated or just like but a little bit before I went up to speak, I just felt like the Lord just, like, every fear of man, every thought about who cares about these cameras and everything, and the Lord just put in my spirit a word that I spoke, finding light in the darkness this Christmas. And you'll say, that's a weird, you know, sermon title or message title. But almost everybody in the room that I was speaking to had lost a loved one this year. Almost 80 to 90% of the people there. Many of them had lost their wife or their husband. And this was going to be the first Christmas that they were going to face without their loved one. And so I just felt like the Lord came on me, and I was able just to boldly speak and declare the light of God. And I use that passage, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. And within him there is no shadow, no variance. That means that no matter what darkness there is in the world, he is always going to be light in the midst of your darkness. And in that moment, one of the craziest things that I ever kind of experienced is that all of a sudden one of the camera guys was crying so hard on one side of me that he wasn't able to hold the camera still. And here his mom had just passed away a couple of weeks ago. And so then I was able to just kind of pray with him and asked him, do you know the Lord? And of course, well, I grew up, you know, I used to go to church when I was little, you know, one of those. But then just be able to share the light and the love of God. And so as we kind of close the chapter of 2024 and we begin to step into 2025, the most important thing to know is that In this world, you'll have tribulation. You're going to go through all kinds of different things. This could have been a year that you were just flooded with blessings, and this could be a year that you were just had immense challenges that you faced. But let me just tell you, above all, that the love of God and the light of the Lord will lead you on forward into the destiny and the purposes that he has for your life in this life and in the life to come. And as we kind of look back and we reflect on this last year, the Lord has really been speaking to me and then to us and through Pastor Roger, where we really believe that there's this great transition that's happening in the church. It's not, whether you like it or not, ready or not, here it comes. There is this tremendous transition that is going on in the church. And I believe that we're going to see the continuation of that next year in 2025 is still going to be a part of that transition. But we're in some ways, we're getting back to that which is important. We're getting back to the basics. We're getting back to the grassroots of Christianity, and instead of all the hype and the glitter and everything that's kind of been paraded in the body of Christ, especially the charismatic world in America, and getting back to the Bible and what we're really to be about. And so this last year, let me just quickly, there was so much, you know, you're talking 52 Sundays, so much that was, you know, spoken and God did. But let me just give you some of the foundation. I think you'll see a pattern being weaved. We kind of talked about at the beginning of 2024 about the church and the importance of the church, and realizing that a lot of the ideas that we have in our mind, what church is, really is not what church is. A lot of those are traditions and things that were established by man. But what is the church? And the foundation of the church is this, that Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, and I'm going to build it on the rock, which is the revelation of him, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. And then we begin to dive into, and I feel like we're going to continue to go in some of those directions in the new year, but begin to dive into the book of Acts and how that the book of Acts was the early church. And we see the blueprint of how the church began, what the intention of God, what the church was to look like. We talked about how that it began to be eroded away and the establishment of Catholicism and institutionalizing the church and how the weaknesses that came from that and in some ways even departing from God itself because of the direction or the corruption and everything that came into the church. Then we talked about how there was a restoration that began to happen. That it began probably, you know, you could probably say even in during the time of the Enlightenment period, but especially during times like the Protestant Reformation and different times of the awakenings and outpourings and revival. And then, you know, we talk about the Welch Revival and we talked about Azusa Street. And then we've talked about even just what has happened in the body of Christ throughout the world in the last 100 years of establishing the Spirit-filled community. But then we also have talked about how that even among us, even among, you know, that kind of that sidebar that God began to restore with Protestantism and then even to the charismatic world, that even among us that we've allowed the enemy to kind of cloud our thinking and begin to distort things and in some ways even pervert some things, and that God is calling us back to our roots. I shared with you, and some of you are sick of hearing it, in February of 2022 when the Lord on the floor gave me the vision and said, return to your roots, seen a picture of West Virginia, a tree with roots coming out. And when I moved back here, I realized that was just the beginning, that there was a whole nother level of things that God wanted to speak and show me that had to do with returning to the roots of Christianity and the roots of the context of what the church should look like. And then we looked in the book of Acts, and this has kind of become our theme verses in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. I'm not going to read all that, but this is kind of like a simple, yes, it's bigger and it's a little more complex than this, but this is a simple snapshot of what the church, the early church, and the blueprint of the early church looked like that we need to get back to. And then we kind of talked about what did the New Testament church look like and how that God established in the new covenant and the workings of the church and the structure of the church. And then we talked about the importance of in our returning to our roots, some of these concepts that were very important. Discipleship, prayer. I mean, no, that's a big one that God, I think, is really going to highlight again in the new year. Building community. We found out that we studied the early church and how important community and koinonia and fellowship and relationship were and how we've lost a lot of that in the American church. We talked about that our roots are ultimately Hebrew in origin. We have Hebrew roots and Romans chapter 11 says we are actually part of being grafted into the original plan of being spiritually now Israel. And all the connotations of how it's often when we look at scripture and we don't look at it with understanding our Hebrew roots, we misinterpret things. Then we talked about how the early church, it was very prevalent for them to walk in signs and wonders and that miracles happen and God wanting us to get back to those things and believing for those things. Yes, we don't see 100%, but we should see a lot more than we're seeing, right? I always said that the water level, we had a professor when I was in Bible school, he talked about how the water level of miracles need to rise. Go ankle deep, then knee deep, then waist deep, and then over our head. And that's where we want to be, over our head. And I really believe that's a direction that God's going to talk about a lot in the new year, because the one of the main reasons why I feel like we are not seeing miracles like we should isn't because of the issue of faith, though that is always important, but I think it's the issue of pride, that too often that God pours out his spirit and people take credit for it. They make themselves in the spotlight instead of putting Jesus in the spotlight. And I tell you what I want to do in 2025 is put Jesus back in the spotlight. That he is what we're focused on, and he gets all the credit, you know. I'll take all the blame. He can take all the credit, right? Anyway, but we talked about restoring the Maranatha cry. And one of the key things that has been in my life and in my lives for the last, especially since 2020, probably around 2020, is the revelation of Maranatha and what that means, and that the Maranatha cry in Maranatha means come, Lord Jesus, how that will increase in the body of Christ as we identify ourselves and recognize the revelation of us being the bride of Jesus. We talked about something that kind of seemed like a sidebar for a little while. We talked about how joy is in our roots. And when we looked at the early church, they were going through persecution, they were suffering, but they were filled with joy. And even times when they felt like they were overwhelmed and they couldn't go on, they'd get together and it would actually say the Holy Spirit would baptize them with joy, and how that's part of our roots. Pastor also talked to us about how we need to sharpen our relationship with Jesus, getting back to the primary focus of who we are as God's people, to focus upon our relationship with Jesus above every other thing in context of our life in Christianity. We also talked for a few weeks about the mountain of the Lord and just how it was way bigger than what we thought it was, and how that God wanting us to go up the mountain of the Lord. And that kind of just is a snapshot of what God said this last year to us. There was so much more that we could go on for hours, but I want to kind of bring it in kind of a crossover now as we move into talking about the new year. One of the things that you've heard me say and have had a PowerPoint slide, go to the next slide, many times, probably more than even the last year or so, is this prophetic word that came about 5 years ago, 4 years ago now, about the next decade. And this was prevalent across the body of Christ, and this is something that we began to talk about in 2020 in the church that we were pastoring, is that the understanding, and let me just say, the expression of Christianity is going to change in one decade. And I believe we're already seeing the parts of that happen. That God, you know, when I was thinking about this a minute ago, I was looking up Jeremiah. And Jeremiah the prophet, he was called by the Lord. And it looks like he was called when he was pretty young. And then the Lord says to him what the work of the prophetic was going to do. He said, "Then the Lord touched my mouth, and he said, 'See, I have put my words in your mouth. Today I appoint you to stand against nations and kingdoms, and you are,'" and these are the four things that begin with the prophetic, "you are to uproot some, tear down some, destroy and overthrow some." You remember Hebrews at the last chapter, chapter 12, says that there's a shaking that will happen. And I believe this is, yes, it's true in every generation, but I believe there's something prophetic about that this last generation before the Lord comes back, that God is going to bring things back into order. He's going to bring things back into alignment. I'm going to talk about it in a minute because it's something we talked about for the new year. He's going to recalibrate things and bring them back into its original intention. And when I say that, I want you to understand, we're not pointing fingers. We're not saying people were wrong. We're not trying to criticize our heritage or our legacy. But what we are saying is that it is a new day, and you cannot live under old manna in the new day. What is God saying today? What is he doing right now? And even more so, what is he about ready to do that I can prepare myself and we can prepare ourselves together to be able to move into that new? I mean, there was a lot of things that we did not know specifically what we were doing before 2020, before COVID hit. But we had a sense that God was ordering things to change things. One thing that happened in 2019, we didn't spend money like we used to. We began to conserve. We began to get things ready. We began to buy stuff that was going to put us online and all those kind of things. And then all of a sudden, as we prepared ourselves, we didn't know exactly what was coming, But when those things began to happen, we were ready for that. This is what God is saying to us corporately. I don't care so much about titles and even positions or anything like that at this moment. What I care about is that we hear the voice of God, because the tomorrow is going to look a lot different than today. And as the church, we want to be prepared to be who God called us to be and to be as effective as we can tomorrow by preparing today for that. And a lot of that is not just something in the natural. It's our hearts and it's our spirits. God is wanting to adjust our hearts and our spirits so that we're prepared to step into the next day. So I say all of that because we've been saying this now for years, that the complete expression of Christianity is going to change in one decade. And it was like COVID was the beginning of that. Not because of COVID. I don't care nothing about the virus. Don't care about that. I care about what the effect on the church it had. And there was a lot of effects. Half the people who left during COVID never came back to church. A lot of different reasons for that, and some of them could be not being counted because they're in house churches and other things, so I'm understanding all that. But what I'm saying is that we are still in that first part of that process, that God is tearing down. In my lifetime, there has been not one bit of comparisons to God dealing with the church. This is the world that I'm part of, my tribe, the spirit-filled community, the spirit-filled church of America is the tribe I'm a part of. And there has been no time in our lifetime that God has dealt with the church like he has this year. Not even close. And a lot of people try to say, well, the devil's doing this. I'm just telling you, you don't have to agree with me. But it ain't the devil. It is God dealing with the church. Ministry after ministry, leader after leader, falling, all kinds of sin issues, money issues, just spiritual abuse things going on, control, manipulation, all of it. God is shining a spotlight on it. There was a time that that you could deal with a lot of things. God gives us a lot of grace. How many know God's grace, a very grace-filled God? And there was a lot of time that God gave us to deal with that in secret, if you would let me say it that way. Not secret like in a negative, but that time ended. Spotlight came out and the Lord exposed. Yes, privately, to be dealt with privately with a leader and within your context. But God is... He just like ripped the Band-Aid off this year. It's been, for a lot of you, that probably for many of you, you don't watch or listen or have connections, or so you're not as aware of it as some others. Now, a lot of you go like, why did you so invest in that? Because I felt like the Lord wanted me to. And I feel like he wanted to teach me things and kind of show me where we're at and show how that we have to build differently. We cannot build like we have built. And in that especially in the context of relationships and the context of accountability. And so we talked about how the great change, the greatest corporate miracle in human history, is the transformation of the end time church from the majority walking in compromise to walking together as mature family and as a prepared bride. A lot of you might disagree with me that the majority is walking in compromise. I don't know. I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm not saying they're not going to heaven. But I'm just saying that there's so much compromise in the church. And God has come to dealing with that. And so we talked about a few weeks ago or a month ago now. Go to the next slide. How that God was saying to us that 2025 was a year of recalibration. And some of you remember that. That was almost the New Year's Eve message that I gave way back. Go to the next slide. And we talked about, do you feel like you just need to recalibrate, like you're going about your life with something that's just a little off? That's kind of where the church has been. but I feel like sometimes, I know I've been feeling that way. It is easy to get so sidetracked by the business of living life as it is that we lose our bearing on life as he intended. Think back 10 years ago. Is the life you're living today what you envisioned then? Maybe you need to recalibrate to get back on track. And then we talked about the three things, and I'm not going to rehearse everything, but how do we do that? Number one, make a relationship with him your greatest priority. Number two, ask God what to remove or let go in your life. And number three, be ready to embrace a new from God. This is where we are. I mean, and some of you are going like, well, this is where the church is. There is no possibility to go forward business as usual. He is shaking everything. And so many of the old guard, which is probably my age group, that is trying to just revert back to everything. Okay, we've made it through this. We've made it through that. Just get these scandals all to hush up for a little bit, and we'll get back to business. No, God does not want him. He wants to recalibrate us. He wants to recalibrate the church, and that we are ready and able to embrace the new. And a lot of times when I say that, I know that some of you quiver, going like, what does that mean? Well, I don't know. It means a lot of things, but I don't know. It can be many different things. That isn't going to look the same. Go to the next slide. And we talked about how that we wanted to look at even the new year being a year that God recalibrates us and as a people and as a group. So saying all that, as we're moving into 2025. For most of you, the next time that you see me, it'll be 2025. Three more days, we're going to be there. And I have, really just been praying over the last couple months, what God are you saying to us? What are you saying to me? What are you saying to the church? We have years that we cross over that I felt like, I didn't have much. The heavens are brass, is the old way you say it. But I just didn't get a whole lot. And then there was years that we got a lot. The end of 2019, Nicole and I, it felt like we got a ton of stuff from the Lord at the end of that year. And people they weren't happy with us. Because we felt like, I'm just going to say things. So I know you're not supposed to say things like this. But we got the end of 2020, towards the end of 2019, we felt like Trump was going to lose. And we felt like that 2020 was going to be the most challenging year that we had ever faced. And we began to declare it. We had people get mad at us. People left. Because I just was saying what I felt like the Lord said. And then we moved from, the end of the year. By February, we were already into COVID. And by April, we were in the lockdown, preaching Easter service online. And so, as I have certain people in my life that I really trust and have been people that have a lot of validity with me, most of them are people that I've had relationships with a long time. But one of those is Apostle Barbara Yoder from Michigan. And we were privileged to sit on her board for a few years. But she just, I just love the practicality, the application, and the articulation and intelligence when she shares something as far as prophetic insight. And this is what she got for 2025. This is look at the first line. We are stepping into a new era, whether we realize it or not. Specifically, even the church. In many ways, the possibilities before us are limitless. If we are truly hearing from God, what he has prepared for us in this season is immense. But it requires two things. First, receiving the revelation necessary to fully grasp his plans. And in some ways, it's got to be, Lord, I'm open. I'm open to the new. We judge everything by the scriptures. So don't we're going to get into something. No, we judge everything we think, we say, we do by what the Word of God says. But God has different seasons, highlights different things at different times. And so, receiving the revelation necessary to fully grasp his plans, and second, taking the steps needed to apprehend what he has promised. Unfortunately, many Christians, including those in the charismatic circles, are unaware of how deeply they've been influenced by a diluted cultural form of Christianity. I just read that. I'm going like, oh, yeah. We were talking about that. My son, who lives back in Boise, God has just been rocking his world. A lot of negative things that have been happening to him in 2024. But the good thing is that his name is Forrest. And I know a lot of you know some of the things that have been praying for him. And but the one thing is, it's pushed him back to God big time. He's going to church every week and such. And we were talking about a new church he tried out. Boise has become like this metropolitan area now, and there's a million people that live in the Treasure Valley. And this new church that he went to, but it's like this, it's like these trending, like it's just hip. It's not hip's probably not even the word. That's when you're old. Like it, they're branding. And I'm not even saying that all of that is bad or evil, but it's just like it's real trendy to go to this church right now. But the reality, what's the substance? What is the presence of God? What is the word being taught? Not about just like, well, I go to, you know, it's like it is so cool to be a part of that. It's like OR is the acronym or the initials. So all the bumper stickers, OR, go to OR. There's good, and this is literally, he was told, you need to go to OR. There's good looking chicks at OR. You know, probably not the word chicks anyway, whatever word. And so, but that's kind of like most of you know, I have what they call mouth vomit. If I start going, I just blah. But anyway, but it's so much a cultural Christianity that it's denying the power of. And it's become so diluted. Let me go on. By contrast, the New Testament church was defined by four key practices. Number one, devotion to the word. Number two, prayer. Number three, communion. She talks about how that she feels God is going to highlight communion. And then number four, fellowship. And then she goes on, when these four elements are in place, as seen in Acts 2:42, which has been our theme, the church becomes unstoppable. Believers move beyond the natural or self-driven realm into a supernatural dimension where God's miraculous power is evident. This is not just about avoiding sin. It's about stepping out of self-reliance into God's miraculous provision and power. Last part. Next slide. A new kind of church is emerging, one in which miracles will be commonplace. These miracles won't be limited to physical healings, but will also include supernatural provision, restored relationships, financial breakthroughs, and divine solutions in every area of life. This is the Christianity we were always meant to live, one marked by God's power, wrapped in a deep relational connection between God and his people. This kind of church cannot be defeated. Amen? I thought that was a good word. And so, let me kind of close with this part. So about a month or so ago, I'd just been praying about what are you saying for the new year and how we should start it. And the Lord, as clear as anything, I had no idea what it means because the Lord, there's always at the beginning in Acts chapter 1 where it says Jesus began to do and teach them in talking about the kingdom of God. And from that, I always realize Jesus does you, and then he teaches you what he did to you. But we want him to teach us before he does us. But he does us first. So the Lord just dropped in my spirit, return to your ABCs. And that's all I got. And then over the course of the next few weeks, the Lord began to give me A and B. And last Sunday I was here, I even told him, I got A and B. I don't got C yet. And then this week the Lord gave me C. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit in January. And so I returned to the ABCs of the early church. And this is my heart. And this is as real as anything I ever heard the Lord speak to me. Number one is the word authentic. Genuine. Real. Bona fide. Shouldn't even bring it up, but it reminds me of that stupid movie, whatever. You're not bona fide. Whatever. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you don't need to. There's a lot of cussing in that movie, so don't watch it. But you can watch the edited version. There you go. You're not bona fide. Okay. Well, yeah, I almost feel like that's what the Lord's saying about the church nowadays. You're not bona fide. You're not authentic. But I was looking up that word authentic because that's the first thing the Lord spoke to me. Not false or copied. Genuine, real, representing one's true nature or beliefs, true to oneself or the person identified. And guess what person is identified? It's Jesus. Okay. So in that God is wanting to reveal to us and show us how the early church was authentic Christianity. And so much of what we see today is nothing but a cheap imitation. The church has become zirconium, zunis, zirconium, whatever that is, the fake diamond, instead of the genuine. The second thing, and this is going to be kind of a little more difficult for us to just embrace, but I really feel like the second thing was God was wanting to bring us back to a place of brokenness. A real brokenness in our heart and brokenness in our life. And have a heart that's broken, and that it will be key in revival. It'll be key. I mean, you know me. I just say things. Sometimes I know people judge everything you say differently. But I think that even in the area of brokenness, that there's a little bit of this, not into the degree of a lot of things you hear, but there's a little bit of this brokenness that needs to happen, because in some Christians' hearts and minds, Trump's become an idol. I voted. I don't care what you say. I voted for Trump, and as my wife would told you, I was ready to join the rebellion if he didn't win. So I am there. So it wasn't anything. But I feel like that there's a line, though, that could get crossed, that I'm not saying any of you are like this, but I see a lot in the body of Christ that have made Trump an idol, and I think that directly can feed into a spirit of arrogance and pride that can have its seed in the church that will prevent things and us receiving things, and that part of that is coming back to this place where God wants to bring this brokenness in your heart. I was thinking the other day, I was complaining in my heart about something at work. And you know, because I've been a leader all my life, been sometimes leader of paid staff and everything. And sometimes at work, I just feel like, you know, because it's just sometimes not the greatest leaders and everything. And so I was complaining with the Lord about it. And the Lord said, oh, you mean like when I wash the feet? And he said, maybe I just called you here to wash feet, Todd. And I said, I will shut up, God. And so it's a place of just coming to just complete brokenness before the Lord. It's going to, and let me just say, I feel like this is something God's going to do in us, and it's going to hurt, but it's okay because he came to heal the brokenhearted. I like to say, true brokenness can be a catalyst for total transformation. Ooh. A broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, oh, God will not despise. And it's going to position us for revival. I believe that with all my heart. The last one, the letter C that I got this week, Christ-centered. Getting back to Jesus, 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 Jesus. Yeah, you got the point. Jesus. That we make him the center of who we are and what we're about. And that we understand that church is to be Christ-centered. not all the other stuff, not just a little Jesus in. I had one of my friends who went to a pastor's conference out in Seattle. That gives you a lot of reason why you know it's in Seattle. But they did a conference. It was called Light Jesus. And I was thinking, you mean L-I-G-H-T Jesus? No, they said L-I-T-E, Light Jesus. That means you just do all the self-help stuff and you sprinkle a little Jesus in. I don't want to sprinkle Jesus in. I want him to take over. Okay? And so this coming month in January, just kind of give you a quick snapshot. Pastor's going to be speaking next Sunday, and we'll be doing communion. And then the 12th and the 19th and the 16th, we're going to talk about, on the 12th, the authentic Christianity. He's going to call, let's get real. And then on the 19th, we're going to talk about brokenness. He will revive the broken. And then we're going to talk about the Christ-centered church at the end. And so, Lord, we thank you for 2025. We declare that it is a time of transition in our hearts and lives. But most importantly, Lord, we just want to get all the way back to you, to where you are and what you want from our lives. So we say, Lord, we pray that everything in us that would try to resist, hold back, or hold on to something that you want us to let go, we pray that you'll break that over our lives in Jesus' name, that your power and your glory would be so manifested to us that we would want you so much and more of you and more of what you want us to be, that we would be willing to let go of the things that are just holding us back. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand together. And if you would, just go ahead and say, put your hand over your heart and say, that's me, Jesus. There are moments of formation that the Lord wants to go visit in your life where things did not turn out the way he intended. This next month, we're going to open our hearts to allow him to transform what was malformed. Are you ready for that? When Todd mentioned these words to me, authentic, my primary emotion was how much I love this guy because he hears from the Lord. True transformation of our character is the foundation. So next Sunday, the Lord already dropped in my heart, becoming a pillar. What we go through to become a pillar in the house of the Lord, what that looks like. How we become a reflection of who Jesus is. So I'm already lined up with him. Now would you just lift your heads to the Lord and say, I want to pray this prayer. Lord, let a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit giving revelation to your people descend upon us right now. I pray for the spirit of revelation and wisdom in the Lord. And I ask now that there would come great light to shine upon and cast out and replace places of darkness with places of inner light by the revelation of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. I believe the Lord is going to look at you, some of you, in the eyes, and you're going to say, I wasn't supposed to become this, was I? And he's going to say, no. You're going to become exactly what I want you to be. And you're going to be relieved of things you've been carrying. You're going to be transformed and shift into a deeper place. Because growing up is becoming a child in him. Growing up is becoming more dependent upon him. So we praise you, Lord. Even right now, for removing loads from the heart of losses, removing things that would want to push against us. We praise you, Jesus. Let the Lord take some things right now, right now. He's not going to just wait for next month. The Lord is always ever present. He's ever present. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Other. There's several of us down here. If there's other issues for prayer, we are happy to minister to you that way. Love on each other. You're dismissed. Have a beautiful day.